Good morning. We're very glad to have you worship with us today. We've got some visitors. We extend a special welcome to you. We're glad and feel honored that you came to worship with us today. This was just one of the ways that kind of talks about our lesson today, laboring for the Lord. Amen. The power of prayer that we have. The fact that we are a moment away at any given time from going to our God in prayer. There's a lot of aspects when we talk about laboring for the Lord that we're going to look at today, a lot of different concepts. I don't know about you, but the devil's alive and well and very busy. He's doing everything he can to keep us from what we need to be doing. He may have affected some of us this morning. There may be people right now that the devil is combating right now, trying to discourage. You know, I don't know about you. Have you ever heard, maybe out of our own mouth, but somebody else say, about maybe reasons why they're not laboring for the Lord as much? Well, life is so busy. Absolutely, it's busy. Sometimes it's like juggling chainsaws. Sometimes, you know, you're going so many different directions, so fast. Going down the street, see yourself going the other way. You wave to yourself as you're going to do something else. Not only is life busy, there's a lot of things that are required of us. There's a lot of things that need our attention. Sometimes life is just messy. So, you know, life is not always a walk through the park. Sometimes it's messy. But yet, here we are.
Amen.
Here we are together, laboring and serving for the Lord. Don't overlook the power of just showing up. Don't overlook that. Now, hopefully, in your individual life, you do more than just attend on a Sunday morning, hopefully. If not, we can talk privately. Maybe I can give you some hints of what to do, how to do, whatever. That's a side note. But don't ever underestimate the power of just showing up. Sometimes just being here in spite of what's going on in the world around you speaks volumes. Being here, it's preaching to other people that see you come here, neighbors, friends, family, that this is a priority. That's laboring for the Lord. And it's showing what a priority is when there's so many other things trying to keep you from being here. You ever feel sometimes, why can't others help? Maybe you're one of those that are laboring for the Lord, doing lots. Well, why can't other people help? That's never, never not existed. I was talking with David Phillips a few weeks ago. He was saying, that's universal. It's in their congregation. It's not just us. Most of the work is done by a smaller percentage of people, of the day-to-day things that get done. A lot of times, not everybody. Noah didn't have a lot of help building that ark. People weren't coming out of the woodwork to help Noah build the ark. But he kept at it, and he kept working. I'm reminded of what Jesus told Peter when Peter was worried about, you know, what about this guy? What about John? Don't worry about him. You follow me. Whatever John did, you follow me. Well, no, I do all this. No one seems to notice. Last I heard, they're not the ones we're doing it for.
Amen.
Who cares if they notice? They're not who we labor for the Lord for. Ever hear somebody say, well, what I do, it's what I do in my time is my business. Last I heard, it's God's time.
Amen.
God's granted us today. When we think about it, he didn't grant everybody today. It was part of God's will. Some people did not wake up today. A lot of people passed away between last night and this morning. God's granted us another day.
Amen.
Let's use it and use it effectively for him. I don't want to get into a bunch of I thinks, I feels, and my opinions. I would like for us to spend the rest of our time looking at a dozen or so scriptures. What the word, just, we've looked at some of these things, some of these things. Keep pointing to the back, you're not looking that way. We've looked at some of those. Let's look at what some of the scriptures have to say about this idea of laboring for God. Our scripture that Michael read, and I'm glad you went back and started with verse 1, but verse 4, it's comforting. It's comforting that God knows. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. So we don't have to worry about being overlooked. We don't have to worry, is all that I'm doing, is God aware of it? He is. And God is just if he's anything. He can't be unjust. And he will reward us for what we labor in the Lord for him, as for the things that we do. In Romans 12, Paul is talking about to the Corinthians, or excuse me, to the Romans, about the different gifts, talents that people have. And, you know, we're like a body. We all work together. Some of us, you know, still trying to figure out what my ability is, but we all work together and in unison. We have different things that we can do. And Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. As an athlete and as a coach, I never liked the I could have people. Well, I could have done this. I could have done that. You didn't. You might have been able to run faster or catch better or tackle better or block better, but you didn't. That's the sad thing. Paul's saying, let us use the talents that God has given us. for God. In Galatians, and I think Dick used this last Sunday night in his lesson, Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, let us not grow weary while doing good. Here's an honest question. Do you ever get sometimes tired of doing good? Anybody with me? You know, sometimes you get tired. Paul's reminding us, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, at the right time, maybe not when we want, but at the right time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and I'm going to stop there for a second. I pray for opportunities and sometimes go right past them when they're right before me. Let's pray not only for the opportunities, but for the eyes to see those opportunities. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
To build up each other, to do good, to help rather than hinder each other in our walk. Paul would tell the Corinthians this is one of those, you know, I don't know if you have certain verses that really hit you. All of God's word is inspired, but some verses hit you a little differently. This is one of those that hits me every time I read it. Paul would tell the Corinthians, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you ever feel sometimes, am I doing any good? Are my efforts making a difference? Are my efforts even felt? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord's not in vain. It's not. A companion verse says an awful lot. The Hebrew writer says an awful lot of the same concepts in Hebrews 6:10. It reads, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's aware of what we've done and what we're doing now. It's the message to the churches of the seven churches of Asia in Revelation. I know your works. They're not slipping past me. In Colossians 3:17, we covered this verse in Wednesday night Bible class this past Wednesday. This and verse 23 kind of go hand in hand. Paul's telling the Christians in Colossae, he says, and whatever you do, some of us do unbelievable things in the kingdom. And some of us, not as noticeable, but it's still for the kingdom. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, the things we do, even the things we say, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by His authority. Let's not go rogue and start doing it because I say this or I say that. You know, I think, I feel. But in His name, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything we do. And then skipping down to verse 23 and 24, he says, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Not grumbling, complaining, sound like Yosemite Sam, you know, grumbling and complaining. Yeah, I did this, but man, you know, I had to give up that. Do it heartily. As to the Lord and not to men. That's the whole key. What we're doing for the Lord, not doing it for people. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It's God that's going to give us the reward, not men. For you serve the Lord Christ. Jesus used the same concept in part of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. In verse 1, he says, take heed, be careful. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's not that those charitable deeds are bad. They reward, they help somebody. But be careful of your motives. Are you doing it for man or are you doing it for God? And then in verse 5, he uses the same thing about prayer. Make sure that your prayers are not to be seen by men, that you're praying to God. And then in verse 16, same thing about fasting. Those are three good Christian works. But why we do them is as important as what we do. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul addresses this concept that when we do things, make sure our motive is proper. He says in verse 3 of chapter 13, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Whatever we do, whatever we sacrifice, there's a lot of good works that go on in the world. A lot of good works. Donations to charitable activities, people doing good works. But what's the motive? Is it the tax write-off? Is it somebody that's running for office to be seen on the news? It's a photo op? Or us individually, if we do good works but don't have love to back it up, it says it profits me nothing. Doesn't mean that those good works don't help somebody else, but it does nothing for me without the love. I'm reminded what Jesus said when he says in Luke 17:10, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Let's not toot our horns. We should have been doing those things. It was our duty. You've been told, Jesus says, it was your duty. I want to end up with this passage from Revelation. Revelation 14, verse 13. Says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. follow them.
Amen.
What a legacy that we could have for the works that we've done for God. They will follow us in God's eyes. You know, Daryl asked prayers, you know, for Charlie Kirk. And in the news, all I'm hearing is about, you know, the legacy he's living behind. His, you know, his message will grow, blah, blah, blah. That's right. But think of the legacy we will leave behind. The seed that we've scattered along the way. The people we've encouraged to keep on the path. Maybe by just a pat on the back. Maybe by just a smile. The verse we started with, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Amen. The lesson's yours. The verses are on the outline that we used today. Maybe have the opportunity to go over them again this week in your personal study. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.